नमस्कार। There is a unity to life. A unity that comes when you experience deep love in your heart. Love with another being or love for all of life. You rise above fear and separateness. And wholeness and unity become your experience. In this union, there is no life and no death, no past and no future. Those that you love are always with you. There is no attachment and no loss. Because all that you love always is, always has been, and always will be. The cause of human suffering is the separation from this wholeness. When you feel that you are separate, apart from the whole, you feel small, diminished, and the experience of fear arises in the mind and striving. Fear that you cannot survive, that you are limited and you will be harmed in some way, mentally or physically, and a need to survive, to maintain yourself. Since your identity is absorbed in your body-mind experience, that fear, that need to maintain yourself goes to the physical body. There is a desire for the physical body to survive and a fear of any damage or loss to the body, and also a fear of psychological losses, loss of loved ones, loss of safety, loss of well-being in some form or another. So fear and the need to protect come into existence, as does attachment to other beings. Because when you are small and alone, when you do feel love, when you do meet those with whom you really feel unity and love, you become attached. And there is a biological attachment to children, to offspring, and even to partners with whom you have lived for an extended period. There is a biological tendency for strong attachment because they become your shelter. So attachments to friends, to family, and to children are all biologically based as well as psychologically. The yogis often talk about detachment, but detachment is a tricky subject. When you become afraid of the suffering that these attachments can cause, then you want to shut them down so that they don't, so that you are not hurt by them. And if you have the ability to do that, you would say that you are detached. But really what you have done is suppress your attachments. Because you have not addressed the root of your attachment. Rather, you have suppressed your feelings, suppressed your needs. And in that suppression, you become emotionally disconnected. You become numb. So that suppression of your need for closeness and love with others is not a true solution to the dilemma of human suffering. It is not a true solution to your suffering. The better solution is to realize that you do have attachment, that these attachments are part of your human experience, and they stem from the sense of separation. When you have the experience of separation, where you are separate from other people, other beings, from life around you, then naturally the desire for closeness, for something that diminishes that feeling of separation and the fear that arises from it. It is natural that that desire to have someone or something that you can hold on to arises in your mind. You want somebody or something you can feel secure with, that you can hold on to, that can emotionally secure you. When you have that in place, you no longer feel so lonely, so separate. Because feeling your separation from everything around you creates a feeling of isolation and deep loneliness, a disconnect from life. That disconnect is resolved when you form these attachments, when you meet others whom you feel very connected to. And naturally, immediately you become attached. You want that connection to sustain. And when you lose it, you feel pain. You suffer. This is the human dilemma. And it is not resolved by suppression of attachment. That is merely a way to not experience the pain so intensely because you have numbed your feelings and disconnected from them. But when you numb feelings in one direction, you numb them in another. And so you're ability to feel the deep, passionate love of all that is also gets numbed in that process because you're disconnected from your emotions. When instead you dive deep and you find that place within yourself where all is one, where all beings are of one source, one existence, where there is no before and no after, but an existence that is complete and full here and now. a unitary whole. When you experience that, the need for attachment dissipates, as does the feeling of isolation. So the feeling of separateness and isolation dissolves with this experience of divinity, of your divine true nature. And when this happens, the root cause of attachment and suffering comes to an end. As long as you identify with your sense of individuality and your body-mind, you will be caught in this world of duality, attempting to cope with it one way or another. But when you remove your conscious, intelligent awareness into awareness of the unity of all existence, then your sense of I am-ness, your individuality, gets merged into the sublime.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
And when you become merged into the sublime, the root cause of your suffering gets resolved, because the root cause of your suffering is your sense of separation from the whole, your sense of being a small person in a body, apart from everyone and everything else. This is the root cause of pain. When you address the root cause, then there is no need for compensations and coping mechanisms, because the problem becomes resolved. Now, the difficulty is that living in a body in this world of form, you become identified with your experience of being in a body and with your five senses. And you experience things that you see with your eyes outside of yourself as separate from you. And your biological urgings of your body to attach to children, to protect them, to attach to partners. These biological urgings and the pain of loss of those you love naturally draws you. You are drawn into the body-mind experience. Your conscious awareness is drawn into that experience. And it does not naturally depart from that experience until the body is no longer functioning. Then your conscious awareness will withdraw from that experience. But it cannot remain outside of that experience and soon finds another body-mind to inhabit, to continue the struggle that you have been in. So it takes effort and true intention to turn yourself towards the divine. Then the grace of that divinity provides for you a pathway, and you begin to feel a longing in your heart for the love that does not end, for the love that is unconditional. And knowledge awakens in the mind through your study and through your inner inquiry, until you understand deeply the nature of your existence. And with this understanding and this knowledge comes the motivation to right understanding, to right thinking. And the love in your heart is captivated by your divine beloved. And that one draws you to himself. For you have a natural draw, a natural inclination to move towards your eternal essence. That is your natural inclination. It is your dharma. This you share with every other person in the world. But some people are more connected to these deep inner longings, others less connected. And many of life's experiences which come to people, which are very painful, are there to show you what works and what doesn't work. Where you have falsely tried to realize your deep longing for union, and where it can be fulfilled. So, always be compassionate with yourself, because you, being human, have a human body, a human mind, and these inclinations of attachment and fear of separation, fear of loss, fear of danger to your body, danger to your existence, and by extension of that, danger to your hearth, home, and family. These are natural human feelings born of the experience of embodiment. Be ever so compassionate with yourself and with all living beings who share this experience of embodiment. By this compassion and kindness, you begin to open the doors to the deeper realms, where the real resolution to your pain abides. All right. Are there questions?
I would like to ask you, concerning the teachings of Buddha, when he says detachment from the cause of suffering. Does it have something to do when you were saying not to suppress the attachments? When Buddha says Concerning the cause of suffering, is attachment? Is it some kind of suppression of attachment?
You see, Buddha says to follow the path of Dharma to the enlightened state. That, so if you separate from this ego identity with the I am-ness, with the person who's in the body, then you realize you are part of an integrated whole. Then in that feeling of unity, when vidya is there, truth, as opposed to avidya, the root cause of suffering is taken away, and attachments will be no more, because there is attachment to the Supreme. But until this realization is very deep in you, and even then, there will be fear of death and attachment to life. So, until this realization is very deep in you, the body and the body-mind of your, and your identity of yourself as an individual person living in that body will cause you to have fear and attachment. Attachment to people, attachment to food, attachment to shelter, attachment to warmth, attachment to comfort of your body. So many types of attachments are there. And they will continue to exist until the root cause is addressed. So, when the Buddha recommends detachment, this is often misunderstood in spiritual life. It is to attach yourself to the Supreme, to attain that realization. Then the attachments naturally resolve themselves to one degree or another, in one way or another. But when you go to practice detachment, you run the risk in that practice of suppressing your heart. So a person wants to become a sannyasi, let us say, and to give up all attachments to family and children and worldly life and accumulation of money and status and so many things. They want to renounce it all and become a simple monk or nun, only owning a few sets of clothes and a begging bowl. So, has that person attained something of value by those sacrifices? Oftentimes, yes. But only if simultaneously they have gone deep in themselves to come close to Parama Purusha. Otherwise, they're simply suppressing their desires. If they have not channeled those desires to the Supreme, they are suppressing desire. And with all suppression, anything held as a reaction in the psyche, in the subconscious mind, will find its way to the conscious mind and to expression eventually. So if one becomes a sannyasi, taking the vows of renunciation from worldly life to avoid some pain or suffering in one's life, that can be a dilemma and will come back to haunt the person because they are running from something they must resolve, not run away from. But if the person simultaneously takes up a great passion for Parama Purusha and dedicates their life to God, putting their all and everything into God, then they may redirect those attachments and passions to Lord and take Lord as their shelter and safety. And if this is done with the deep sincerity of the heart, then it can be effective. So, because of the tricky nature of detachment, the sannyasi path is not recommended for everyone, only for a few, to whom there is already a strong enough attachment to Parama Purusha that they can channelize these needs properly. Otherwise, the suppression of one's needs or one's love only leads to a cool and detached personality that does not feel love. That is a problem. You see? So better to have an open and loving heart, even though you lose those you love, even though life has ups and downs. If you open your heart fully, you see that all is one. Then you ride the roller coaster with love. You see? Are there other questions?
Baba, Rama here. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Apologize for arriving late at the meeting. I am in between flights. Could you speak a little bit about Yoga Nidra?
Yes, yes. Yoga Nidra is a lowest, an undeveloped stage of samadhi. So the mind gets absorbed into the divine awareness. But due to the crudity in the body and mind that may be not purified as yet, the mind the mind cannot experience this as consciously. So it falls into a type of sleep. It is not really sleep in the ordinary sense, but there is an inability to sustain conscious awareness in this deeper state of mind. So it is considered one of the lesser forms of samadhi, where the mind goes into somewhat of a unitary state in your meditation, but you cannot sustain it. So you seem to fall asleep. Have you had this experience?
Yes, and I have been practicing yoga nidra fairly consistently because of my flights helping me managing rest. But I also find it very useful is almost a pre-preparation for my sadhana. And I find that I'm able to go much deeper into my sadhana after yoga nidra, or sometimes that I can go deeper into my yoga nidra after sadhana.
And what are you calling yoga nidra? What is this practice?
I have been doing some guided meditations or guided sessions of yoga nidra. I have been practicing yoga nidra with Yogi Amrit Desai. It's been quite effective. And I also find it in that lineage, many parallels with our lineage. So I wanted you to comment because mainly for me, it's been much easier to go into a very deep meditation after calming my mind with yoga nidra. So I recognize this deep state of consciousness. I wouldn't quite call it a samadhi, but I don't know how to recognize it. But I know that my mind is very clear with very few thoughts grabbing my attention, and much easier to contemplate the divine entering my normal lessons afterwards.
So this is a guided meditation. Someone is speaking to you, or you
Correct.
Do yourself.
Well, that's what yoga nidra is, as I know it.
All right. So you are receiving some guidance to talk you into a calmer state of being, and it is helping you with your meditation to do it as a prelude to meditation. Yes.
That's how I'm using it, Baba. Although you know that at the moment I use there is some applications that are available in my phone that there are some sessions and very similar to us. They don't use a mantra, but they can induce. How can I say it? Maybe phrases and meanings in that very deep state to truly calm the mind. So it's very, I just find it very interesting. They call it that the yogis, according to this philosophy, the yogis from discover this path through sleep to this very deep state of mind, of consciousness, that is parallel, but they find it that is conscious. But I have to agree with you, it's not quite as controlled as if I was in my regular sadhana.
So by using music to affect brainwaves and by using certain hypnotic suggestions and by using a type of hypnotic induction, these practices bring you to a state that is indeed a yoga nidra. a kind of a semi-awake, semi-asleep state of calmness of the mind.
Yes, yes, I think you understand.
But the problem is with these practices, they are very good, but they you are relying on external sources. So eventually it is beneficial to be able to rely only on Paramapurusha and to train your mind to have such deep sentiment and devotion for Paramapurusha that you just think of him and your mind goes into a state of bliss, of non-duality, with that thought alone. Then what will happen is that you experience these deeper realms easily due to continual exposure to deeper realms. And it doesn't require this type of intervention. This can be beneficial, yes, it brings the mind to quietude, but it is dependent on another person, a technique. It does not build your resources in yourself, though it may help you at a certain stage for a little while. You see?
Yes, very accurate. Thank you. But as an acharya, I wonder if it would be helpful to others, because it's so difficult to control the mind, Baba. But yes, I'm inspired by the thought of just being inspired by Paramapurusha, being able to retain the deep sense of awareness. Thank you for that explanation, Baba.
All right. Also, expand your love. Expand your love. Rely on Paramapurusha. And this ability will come to you naturally. It is fine to use these aids, but there is something deeper. A passion, a love, which brings you immediately to your Lord. A little more time in sadhana will help this. This love which makes your mind fall into bliss. Then the need for such crutches will not be there. All right?
All right, Baba. I'm glad I was able to catch the tail end of the session. Good enough?
All right. Namaskar. All right. Is there more? All right. Namaskar.
Namaskar.